Welcome to the Marketing Minute Podcast. Now, here are your hosts, John Pritchard, publisher of the Journal of Healthcare Contracting, and Scott Adams, publisher of Repertoire Magazine.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us again on the Marketing Minute here from Share Movie Media. It's myself and John Pritchard this week talking about the customer journey. We write about this kind of stuff a lot. Actually, recently in a blog that I did, we did a step-by-step process in mapping out the customer journey, and we just think it's so incredibly important just from the simple fact that how much the customer, the buyer today, has changed in the last 10 years and who they are. And we're going to get into some of that today as we talk through this. I'm going to just quickly go through the key points that we're going to talk about, and then we'll unpack each one of them as we walk through this. And so the first one in understanding and mapping out the customer journey in healthcare specifically is, one, building awareness, which is, you know, branding your problem out to the customer and making yourself look like the expert or the person to solve that biggest problem that you do. And then the second is to evaluate those customers and understand who they are and what their needs are, and then the decision-making process that will happen and how they end up selecting a product or service. And then what are you going to do from there to get their support to advocate for you throughout their organization? And then finally, customer retention. How do you continue to retain that customer after the fact, after you've made the sell to them? And so with that, John and I are going to jump into this. We're going to go through a four-step checklist and mapping out the content for customers and what part content plays into the customer journey going forward. So, John, thank you for being here with me today.
Yeah, good to see you, Scott. This is really a fascinating topic, and it's one of those that isn't readily known, I think. Just the whole brand texture every brand is trying to portray to their customers is so important. And understanding how they do that at each step in the process. And I'd like to just touch on that real quick. You went through the five steps of mapping the customer journey: awareness, evaluate, decision making, advocate, and retention. All really important. What's incredible to me is those first two steps: awareness and evaluate. Yep. We have data, Scott, that shows the customer in a business-to-business setting is almost 70% through the process of choosing what solution they're going to go with before they even contact the brand.
It's so big in today's environment.
Think about that. They're Googling your brand. They're asking other users of your brand. They're signing up for anonymous trials and evaluations before you even get the luxury to pitch them, give them a slick, give them a sample, or do anything with them. And I think this is really important for folks to know when we talk about content and the customer journey, because you better have information out there where your customer is going to find it,
right,
and how they like to find that information. I'll give you a great example. Excuse me. Under the advocate part of it, mm-hmm. Just this last weekend, you know, I've got three daughters that play soccer. It's one of the greatest joys of my life to go and watch them. I have one that's a goalie, so I wanted to set up a camera just fixated on the goal. So I went to Amazon to buy a tripod so I could just set it up. I bought the very first tripod that I reviewed because it had 4,513 reviews and was a 4.8 out of 5 stars. It took me all of 12 seconds to buy it. I never had any interaction with the brand. I don't even know the brand. Pushed a button, I had it the next day. The power of others advocating for a product
Incredible. Is
through the roof influential to buyers, even in a business-to-business setting.
I think the other part that I would throw into that, Johnny, to what you just said, is the advocation of it is important, but also it was the first one that came up, and that's through SEO and, you know, content that they've been putting out that gets them to the top of that list. And that's just in those first two steps. I mean, if you don't get those right, you might as well not even go to the following steps, you know, from there. Let's jump in a little bit into the four step checklist that I wrote about in this. You know, the first one is kind of creating your buyer's persona. And when I was writing through this, it made me think back to I spoke at PWH at their annual event two summers ago in 2018 or three summers ago in 2018. I can't do math apparently, and they asked me to come in and talk about millennials. And going into that, millennials had been such a worn out subject for the prior 3 years. I'm like, what can I talk about that's different about millennials than what everybody's already heard? I don't want to stand up and bore these folks. You know, I'm getting to talk to some of the you know, highest level women in our industry, and I don't want to embarrass myself. And so my thought on that topic was, we're all millennials, and it's because of the way we buy today. Yeah. You know, we all buy like a millennial. And one of the things that I threw out to that group, and I'm going to give the numbers today versus what they were in 2018, but most folks, when they think of millennials as, you know, a kid playing video games in their parents' basement, no. Millennial today is between 20 and 38 years old. They are the key decision makers. They make over 56% of the decision makers in B2B business today. And to your exact point, my stats that I had at that point were 80% of their buying decision was made before they ever contacted a brand. Think about that. That's huge. You better understand the buying persona of those folks, and that's where content comes into play so much, and it's what we're going to talk about in this, in mapping out content for the customer journey as we dig into this a little bit. But I just think, golly, that's a huge, you know, number that people don't necessarily think about. 20 to 38 years old. How many of those folks are making decisions for health systems and distributors?
And you know, we know they buy by committee. So exactly. They certainly have millennials on them. It's so funny, when I talk to an executive in healthcare and I mention millennials, their purview immediately goes to millennials as employees. How we have to treat them different, make concessions and do things for them. And it makes their skin crawl at times. But then I say, no, dude, I'm not talking about your millennial employees. I'm talking about the prospect you're chasing.
100%.
And their face goes straight white, like, oh my God, I never thought about that. I do have to communicate to them where they are, how they want to receive it, and what they're doing. You know, this four-step checklist is fascinating. Mapping content to the customer journey, the very first one being create your buyer persona. I see big suppliers and brands do this all day long, chasing IDN supply chain leaders. And they typically go to things like age, you know,
right?
Maybe how big the system is, how integrated it is. Those are all easy enough. Sometimes I don't see them go to other ones that are really important. Geographical location. You know, the seismic concerns you have in California versus the very small size of care settings in the Northeast versus, you know, the Gulf Coast and threats of hurricanes.
Right.
Geography is really a big important segmentation variable when you're building that persona. Another one I see oftentimes overlooked is how you speak to IDN supply chain leaders in a for-profit versus a non-for-profit setting. I do think those two are sort of converging, but it's really different. The way you talk to an operator of a hospital that is investor-owned is drastically different than how you talk to a community-owned one.
I bet 90% of the listeners hadn't thought about that, because, I mean, I haven't.
Yeah.
You know, a for-profit versus a non-profit and how you talk to them. And the funny thing is, I listen to you all the time, and I hear you say that. And I hear it, and I just wonder how many folks are really digging into the customer to understand that they are for-profit, non-profit. I think about your conversation yesterday where Dallas was under ice and Baylor Scott and White, you know, the CEO from the organization, I think it was the CEO or
Vice President of Supply Chain,
called you to talk about that and what's going on there.
Yeah.
And, you know, how does a supplier understand that and do everything they can to try to help in that setting, because it's going to reap them huge benefits down the road.
Yeah. Can you imagine how tone deaf it would be for a supplier to reach out last week to a hospital in Texas to talk about converting to their product or services, when these heroes on the front lines of supply are, you know, just trying to keep the hospital running?
Yeah.
You know, and I worry that they don't think about these things. So create your buyer persona is really important, and getting it right.
Yeah, I think the second one there on draw the map, you know, and it goes back to what we've been talking about, awareness, which is through SEO and content and content in context and content through the different types of vehicles or medias that they're going to want to consume that content. Where are you lining up in the Google search? To John's example of buying the tripod, it was the first one that popped up, and he didn't even know the brand, and he bought it anyways based off of the content that was out there. I think evaluating, great way to do that is through surveys. We do surveys all the time for best in class manufacturers like Ethicon. You know, we're about to do one for Cepheid. And I mean, this voice of the customer is so crucial in understanding how you're going to roadmap out this journey and how you're going to use content. And then decision making, you know, keeping in mind that 80% of their decisions made before you ever, you know, you're ever contacted. So making sure you have good stuff out there for that. And then, you know, John's point about advocacy is so huge, and making sure that you're providing that so that they see that. And then the last one there, which is customer retention. And I give you a great brand, John, that you and I both have, and most people may not recognize it, but Solo Stove is a brand that I bought maybe 2 years ago, and the retention plan that they have, and how much stuff I've bought since from them, when I literally just bought it to be a bonfire pit in my on my back deck that was smokeless, such a cool thing. I bought it for that, and then boom, next thing I know, within 2 weeks I'm buying the top part that goes to it. 2 weeks later I'm buying the cover that goes with it, and 2 weeks after that I'm buying the piece that goes on the bottom that keeps the heat from whatever surface you're on. And it's just such a great retention program to keep me coming back for more, and they put content in front of me where I'm consuming it the most.
Yeah, no doubt. When you look at the best brands you like, you get touched in all five of these stages. And I'll give our listeners my $1 million nugget today for free, absolutely for free, that I think will blow their mind. Just thinking of awareness. When you want to find a customer that is curious about your category, put stuff out there that are answering the questions they're asking, not what you want to tell them.
Right.
If you could look at Harry, the supply chain leader, what are the five things he's Googling in the month of February to make his job, his life, his health system better? If you're putting content out there that's answering that, even if you don't have the silver bullet answer to that, but you have that discussion, you will be rewarded.
It reminds me of the guy that the pool guy, I want to say he was in South Carolina, and he starts putting content out. He was a pool builder. That's all he did, was build pools. But he started putting content out about how to take care of a pool.
Yeah. Five biggest mistakes made when you build a pool.
Right. What the difference between salt water and chlorinated.
Yes.
You know, not anything to do with him selling, but let me build your pool.
Yeah, because people asking the question, how far should I build the pool from my house? Should it be salt water? Should it be chlorine? How big should I build? The next thing they're going to ask is, okay, I'm ready to build. Who should I build? Now, this guy's already been invited into their inbox.
Exactly.
And he's not even necessarily answering those questions. And that's an absolute great example.
John, talk a little bit about, you know, performing the content analysis for us.
Yeah, content analysis, I think, is absolutely vital. It's making sure you have the right answers to the questions they are asking. And we can go through each of those if you'd like. But I'll get back to the retention one too, Scott. That's a really big theme of ours this year, especially post-COVID. I think we all know that now more than ever, incumbent suppliers are probably as well entrenched as ever.
No doubt.
Until we can make in-person sales calls, get in front of the value analysis committee. But I don't see brands doing as much as they can around retention and grooming those relationships they already have to expand. But, you know, software companies are really good in retention, and they often have user groups where they get together, customers coach each other up using the product. And in our industry, I'll give you an example of a really powerful retention technique that I see, and it's from the GPO Premier, the Purchasing Alliance out of Charlotte, North Carolina. They have an annual meeting. It's not going on this year, but it, you know, for years and years I've gone to it, called Breakthroughs, where they have their customers and members in, and they coach them up on all the different things they're worried about. Not what Premier wants to tell them, but, you know, driving clinical efficacy through data and understanding how one member's doing something better than the other, sharing best practices. And another thing they do there, I think, that's really powerful for their membership is they have a subset of Breakthroughs called the Innovation Celebration, where these great brands that are contracting with them have the opportunity to display a new product, a new service, something that's not being done, that's an emerging technology. And boy, if that doesn't draw their members back to Premier to be more loyal, to retain business, and maybe open their eyes a little bit and say, huh, I wonder what else Premier can do for me to make me better.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, performing that analysis, and then once you have all of that in place, all right, now how do you create the right content? And we talk about content all the time, and I'm going to restate it probably 1,000 times during this podcast, as we continue doing them. But it's not just about content. It's about content in context. And then it's about putting it in the right form that people are going to consume it, whether it's a blog or a podcast or written word in the magazines. I think the key to getting content in context is partnering with, you know, the right partner to help you with that. You know, there's lots of writers out there. There's lots of ad agencies out there that folks go to, and I'm not knocking them at all, but finding a partner that knows the context or has an audience that they can share with you that you already want, i.e. for us and to give a blatant plug, Repertoire's audience is the distribution sales reps. We've been writing to them for 27 years. The Journal Healthcare Contracting audience, the healthcare supply chain executives that we've been writing to for 20 years. You know, again, a great example, you know, we Henry Schein partnered with us. It's been several years now, and they continue to do it because of the content that we continue to put out for them, because we're able to write to an audience. They give us the topic that they want to talk about, but then we're able to write to that, to our audience, that we know what form they're going to accept this stuff. And so I think partnering as you craft the right content for these folks is really key.
Yeah, I'll say it a little more directly, Scott. These great healthcare brands could go to Madison Avenue today and absolutely engage the world's best ad agency, the ad agency that works for Apple or Porsche or Rolex or Rolls-Royce, whatever the best branded ad agency there is. And if they ask them to help craft creative content to the IDN supply chain leader, it will be a disaster.
Yeah.
That agency does not have the time or the ability to understand the difference between an IDN and a GPO, national or regional distribution, and the absolute challenges of the environment they're operating in today.
100%.
We do that all day, every day, all day long. And we do it for best in class brands so they can gain market share.
I had the same conversation with agencies around distribution. They want to market to and advertise to them like they're a consumer. And I'm like, they're not a consumer. They're the extended sales arm of this organization that has hired you to help market to them. You can't measure it the same way. It's not about clicks from distribution reps. It's about staying front of mind for them and doing that. And so I think as important as all of this that we've talked about today, and I'll just run back through these steps, you know, creating the buyer persona, drawing the map, you know, performing a content analysis to where you get to creating the right content in context for your audience that you're trying to reach to move market share is so important. So happy that you guys joined us on this today. This is coming to you obviously from Share Moving Media. If you want to subscribe to our weekly newsletter, which we write about all of this stuff that we're talking about on here, you can do that at sharemovingmedia.com. And John, thank you so much for being here with me today. This was great content. I don't know if you want to say a couple of last words.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Scott. I enjoyed it. I would say to our listeners, if you guys would like a brief 30-minute discovery call with us, we'd love to talk about some of the challenges you're facing. And we'd even love to critique or discuss any of the content you're developing.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.